Shalom Aleichem, Chevra. It's Benjamin Hammer here at National Council of Young Israel. We're happy to have all of you on the phone, especially to have a very busy Rebbe. Rebbe Willig Shlita is with us for conference call number 87. Thank you, Rebbe. Rebbe Willig? Rebbe, I apologize. I'm not sure what's going on as we're recording. Rebbe, are you on the call?
Yeah, we're here.
Rebbe, well.
Hang in one second. It could be that Rebbe Willig is having some difficulties. Just bear with me. I'm going to hang up and call back in, and then we'll start this thing again. All right, looks like we're going to have some fun this afternoon. Trevor, just bear with me a few minutes. I thought Rebbe Willig had gotten on the call, but it seems... Okay.
Go ahead, baby.
Let me just shut off.
Rebbe Yamin, if you want, we can all mute our phones. If that would be easier, each one of the Rabbanim could mute their phones besides Rebbe Willig.
Shalom Aleichem, Rebbe Yamin Hammer, here at the National Council of Young Israel, actually in quarantine at the National Council of Young Israel. We are at conference call number 87. I cannot thank Rebbe enough for being on this call. Thank you, Rebbe.
You're very welcome. We should all be zochet to Yeshua b'mehera. I will begin at the beginning. Question number one, please address Kalim Mikvos and proper procedures. Should they be sanitized? Gloves? Our Mikveh Kalim in Riverdale is open. I know others have closed. We've taken proper precautions as per our medical experts. Yes, you have to wear gloves. Yes, we have Purell dispensed in the Mikveh Kalim. Yes. Every evening, the cleaning crew, the cleaning ladies that clean the regular mikveh nashim come to do an intensive cleaning in the mikveh kelim as well. We only allow one family in the room at a time. Only one. So therefore, someone who has a problem, presumably they have a problem by living in the house together. That problem will not get any worse by being in a mikveh kelim together. We also insist that the door be open at all times to make sure that the fresh air comes in. So maybe there'll be a fan. In addition, everyone who walks in is required to wear either a mask or a scarf, a shawl on your mouth and on your nose. These are the precautions we've taken. I believe this is much safer than going into a supermarket. Again, there are those who disagree and they've closed their mikveh kelims, and that's with questions 2, 3, and 4. All discuss. We'll read them all together and try to analyze as best we can. 2, regarding Tefillas Kalim, other suggestions I have seen including being matzkir, which may have an issue of Gemiras Das, and giving it to a goy, which may have an issue of Gemiras Das and needs an effective kinyan. Would this be recommended? 3, under the current conditions, can one be somech on a kiveger to sell Kalim to a goy and then borrow them back to avoid having to be terrible Kalim until the virus leaves? If yes, can Kenya Kesef alone work, or must one do Hagbah? 4, the following Shtar Mechiras Kelim has been emailed out to many people in my community. Is this acceptable? And I quote, in response to the current situation and the inability for many to leave their homes on Tovel Kelim for Pesach, attached the Shtar for Mechiras Kelim. It's only valid for a 2-week period of time and only for this year. is the Horah Shah and should not be considered an acceptable matter to Pata Kelim from Tefillah others in the situation in which we find ourselves. And what does it say? I, the undersigned, fully empower and permit Rabbi X to act in my place and said on behalf of the fellow Kelim that required Tefillah, his powers and conformance to Torah law, rabbinic and civil laws, sign, name, address, phone, email, city, state, zip, form scanned and sent to blank. And it works from April 5th to Sunday, April 19th. It's immediately a problem because we don't sell things for a limited period of time. When we sell chametz, we sell it forever, and you buy it back. That's a technical reason why I'm not fully happy with the way that it's signed. The document itself doesn't say that, but maybe that line can be taken out. But here's what I want to say about the whole problem. It's true that many Choshev Rabbonim Gedolei HaTorah over the years have accepted the Mafka Kelim as a solution. Some say with great reservation, some say without such great reservation. Let me analyze. There's a sefer called the Tevilas Kelim. That's the Bible on this topic. The sefer Tevilas Kelim is not a new sefer. It was written by Harab Tzvi Cohen, and it goes back all the way to Tavshin Mem Beis. Harab Tzvi Cohen, for those who don't know, was one of the great Mechabrim who wrote many, many svarim, which are very easily accessed, of tremendous indexes. I was told, I hope this is not the case, but I was told that he passed away recently with a tremendous Talmud Chacham. We were all his Talmidim. All Klai Yisrael is a Talmidim. He wrote so many other svarim. He wrote Hagolas Kelim, we know, and he wrote many, many other svarim. So let's quote what he has to say in his beautiful Sefer on page Pei Dalet. There he says as follows. He quotes the Maril Diskin. He says, the Maril Diskin says, in Kutchus Achon Simen Hei Oskuf Lamed Vav, he quotes the Mogan Avraham, who says, the Havi Kishalo Mamish. It's literally as if it is his. Now, that is a questionable read of the Mogan Avraham. I'll read you the words of the Mogan Avraham, and you can, you know, decide for yourself what you think. The context of the Mogan Avraham in that Sif Katan is the following. We know that if a person is wearing a talis katan and it becomes puzzle, and now it's Shabbos, and you can't do anything about it, so what do? The whole discussion of Kavod HaBrios, complicated discussion based on Sugas HaShas, not for now. So the Mogan Avraham, I think it's the only time I ever saw him quote, he quotes over here, Hiksha Ochi HaManoch Rab Yudah Segel Zatzal Mikila Kadosha Krakow. Wow. Why do we allow him to do a Kavod HaBrios? Simple. Yitnenu L'Ache B'matana V'yavzav Yishalenu Lo Ozu Potter Mitzitzis. As it says in Simen Shin Chav Gimel Sivva Zion by Tfilas Kalim. What a great kasha. V'nirali T'mikom Agom Chayav Midirabonan Sh'nirez Kishalo. As it says in Simen Yudalad Siv Gimel. In Simen Yudalad Siv Gimel, the Shulchan Aruch tells us an important halacha. It's a Hilchos Tzitzis Shaila, but it's relevant. Hashoel Chamechaveru Talis Siyapota, but after 30 days Yechayim Adarmon and Shaniris Kishalo. Here too, it's Nirik Kishalo. And here's the key phrase. Listen carefully to the key phrase. V'kol Shagein Hocha Shebe'emes Ushalo. So Maril Diskin says, it's really his, even though he gave it away to somebody else, because the fact that he's using it indicates that's all a bluff. However, the Maxis HaShekel doesn't read that way. He reads, I read the words, Kol Shkenocha Shebemesu Shalo, Ad Ato, Rak Akshav Nestan Oli Acher, Ikemar Esayin Akilu Tosh Loshim. So the way the Maxis HaShekel reads, it's not the way the Maril Diskin reads. This is for your information. It's going on a little bit further. And has he know it's true? Kimakaimalan the Indian Mafkir Karmo Vihishkimu Bitsaro. At the Sugas Agamar Mesechta Nedarim, Daf Mem Gimel Lamed Beis, going to Mem Dalet Lamed Aleph, bit of a complex Suga, will come to it soon. Teda, Tani Ramo Achta Kanto. Why did Ramo say Kovod HaBrios, or in our situation, Tfilas Kalim? He says in two places, in Simen Shinchav Gimel Siv Zayin, and in Simen End of Simen Kufchof and Yerodea, do you give it to a guy with Matana? He didn't say that Hefka works. didn't say it. And he quotes us, Shud Zecha Simcha. The fact that he didn't say it, that the mafkir, you see, it doesn't work. And why? Kemish and Mishtamish, but also a cliche hifkir, Memele Chotev is Okabo. At least it's the word. That's what probably is true. At the best case scenario, it's a harama gerua biyosed who steer mitzaratzmo to be kaven sherot l'shtamish bekli and a rota sheitlu acher mitachas yado floitiru kayote bo rabbi nutzel miyisa bevogut lo efshe belavochi, and therefore it's a problem. And he quotes from Shlomo Zalman, it's b'shas atchak you can be mafkerit only b'shas atchak. Now, where is that to be found? Shlomo Zalman has it in Minchas Shlomo, Chelik Beis. Obviously, it was printed long after it's quoted over here. Simon Samach Vav, Sif Oz Tezayin, I believe that's a precise source. We bring the raya from someone who does this when it comes to Shemitah. Comes to Shemitah, there's a din of beer. Beer have to be mafkerit. What if you're not sure the exact moment of the beer? So the post can say, what you do is, every night you put it out. Every day you bring it back in again. And it works. So Shlomo Zalman says, you see from here, that even though when he puts it out at night, he hopes that no one takes it overnight, gets it back, it's still considered to be a valid hefker. Shlomo Zalman is not happy with it, not at all happy. He says himself over here, as he quotes in page Pei Dalet, in Tfilas Kelevo, what? He says over here, Aidei Shtamshes Hu Nirek Echozer V'Zocheh, but by Shvius, you can rely upon this takana, because there's no other choice. So if there's no other choice, perhaps you can rely upon it as well. Full disclosure, I saw in the Dirshu in Simon Shin Chav Gimel, footnote 29, they quote this from Shlomo Zalman, B'Shas HaTzchakoto, they quote, you never know how accurate it is, from Rabbi Yashiv, they seem to say it's okay. Now, if you want to go a little bit more deep into the sugya, you have to look at the Shulchan Aruch Harav, Simen Tov Mem Hei, Kuntres Achron, Os Aleph. That's an important Mara Mokum, which says something which is quite remarkable. He goes into some depth into the Sugya in Masechta Nedarim. He says, the Machlokas are Rishonim fundamentally. I'll just read you briefly from the Rishonim that he's quoting. It's the Sugya goes from Mem Gimel through Mem Dalet. Look at the top Tosfos. Let me first say the Gemara. The Gemara discusses the question of someone who's mafkir, but he has every intention to get it back. And the Gemara calls it, Mipnei haramoyim de mafkirin v'adrin v'hom. That maybe it doesn't really work, says the top toast of the Medallim at Beis. Says as follows, the Pirush benetam toshlo shelo havi hefker, and therefore it's not hefker. So it's a question whether it's valid or not. The Pirush Ri, the Midaraisa, it is Hefker. So the Alter Rebbe says in that Kuntres Achron, and of course you understand, I told you Tuf Mem Hei, Os Aleph, we're talking Hilchos Pesach over here. The obvious question, what's the big deal about Pesach? We go through such problems. Just be mafker it. What's the problem? We show him, say, the Ran and Psochim, we're afraid he doesn't really mean it because he wants to take it back after Yontif. You have to have a perfectly legitimate sale, which you have Mechiras Chametz. You cannot rely upon Hefker. And if a person is Mevatel, it says in Shulchan Aruch and Tuf Memches, and you decide, you find it after Yontif, you cannot eat it. It's Chametz Shavuot Pesach for fear that the bittul wasn't as sincere as it should be. And that's a serious, serious problem. So here, I'm just reading a brief excerpt from the Shulchan Aruch, Harav Kutchatach, and Tuf Memhei, Os Aleph. He says as follows. Shem shadato b'shas hefker lachzav liskaspa havelek a hefker her amoyim habavu b'gavara shagosu alav chachamim. That doesn't work. There's no hafkos meiser as the Rosh has nafim gimel and the vamid beis, and therefore it doesn't work. And therefore the kol chesim a pesach is like the first day for amos of hefker the gosu alav otter amos hefker karka etc etc mafkim meiser. That's what the maru diskin brought a raya from here. And therefore, it's a major, major problem. Could be over the Balyarom and our Torah. Wow. So if that's the case, it would not be good in our situation. The extent of Machlokos are Rishonim. That's why it seems to me that this Hefker We cannot say it doesn't work at all, because Gedolei Olam, Rabbi Yashiv quotes it. Rabbi Shechter Shlita is quoted as saying something along those lines, and quoting perhaps from Rabbi Soloveitchik. Gedolei Olam had what to say about this, but it seems to me that you should try, if you can't, to follow the Shulchan Aruch, to give it to a goy. The problem is, how do you do it? You need Hagvah. How do you do it? So I thought of a way for whom it works, that you take the box of kale that you just bought, put the box outside your home or outside your apartment, ask your neighbor who's a non-Jew to come, just take the box with his gloves and pick up the box and put it right back down on the table and take it back. That's one possibility. But of course, you may want to go out of the house, you may want to come into your house, even to the outside. So therefore, it seems it's better to sell it. Now, with respect to the forks, knives, and spoons, or maybe the glass dishes you're going to use it in Pesach, I suggest strongly that you include it in the Shtar Mechiras Chometz. These days, everyone is going to sell the chometz through an email form. So normally, we tell Mr. Brown, we are not selling you the kelim, to avoid the problem of having to be matzal them after Pesach. This year we can tell them, Mr. Brown, we are selling you the kelim. We're asking you a favor to allow us to borrow the kelim for our use, even though you are presently their owner. And in the past, he's been very cooperative. I think it may not be a problem. Just the last couple of days, we worked out a separate document for those who want to sell pots and pans. And pots and pans is too late. Can't wait till Erev Yontif to do when we do the Mechiras Chometz. Even the earlier sale, which takes place Erev Pesach, 7 something in the evening, if you're Rebbetzin, will be told she can't start cooking until then, you have a major Shalom Bayis problem, and the Balabatim will never listen. So therefore, we had this new form, which came out, which has two aspects to it. One, it's within Situmta. I'm told that e-commerce exists. You press a button on an email, and it can actually create a change of ownership, which is legally binding. But in addition to that, we arrange that there can be even payment of money. So they asked me, Akasha, how in the world could the guy pay me money? I was told something called PayPal. And PayPal, you press a button, and money is transferred from one person to another. We'll say from Reuven to John. And we arranged to have two law partners, one an Orthodox Jew and one a non-Jew, who know each other for a long time. If I have the system right, the Orthodox Jew will PayPal to his non-Jewish law partner $1,000. And then at various times during this upcoming week, we will get individuals who will sign up for this. I think that by limiting it to pots and pans, it will limit the number of people on the list. Everyone has to pay a pruta. A pruta today is between 1 and 2 cents. 2 cents per person, just to be done with the Mechiras Chometz proper. And that will happen a few times. I want to thank the Rabbanim, the Bergen County Rabbanim, who initiated this idea. I want to thank the Besen of America for implementing it. And I believe you'll be able to get it through the Besen of America. The form is available already now. It's already been sent out to people in various ways. I believe that's the best way to handle it. I spoke with Rav Shechter Shlita about it. He was quoted as saying to be Mafkarit. I said, what about this? He conceded that it's better. He said, it's too complicated. Baruch Hashem, we have Rabbanim who are able to tackle complicated things and make them easy for the remainder of the Rabbanim to do in a fairly easy way. That's what I suggest for those individuals who do not have a mikveh in town. I should add that in certain communities, you may have access to a body of water with easy access, which is completely safe, and that's a valid place for tevila, such as the ocean. Those who live near the ocean where there's safe access, it's no problem. Some lakes would also be no problem. The rivers are a bit of a problem, both for safety's sake and even halachically. We're taught in the Masechta Nedarim that in the springtime, in Yom HaNisan, there may be a situation of Rabu Notchim al Hazochlim al Notchim. There's more rainwater and snow water than there is spring water, and that may be a potential problem in rivers these days. It's also a safety issue in rivers, but there are bays which are inlets to the ocean, which could be appropriate, but again, only if it's absolutely safe. This is my discussion of questions 2, 3, and 4. Let's move to question number 5. Zoom is an internet-generated program which is being used worldwide for teaching situations in all sorts of schools. Connects the instructor, teacher with an entire class audience where once set up, nothing has to be done should the instructor choose. Can a three-generation family all show Torah mitzvahs, who for decades have all observed Pesach Seder together, and now with the health directive of quarantine, still be able to observe the Seder together by setting up a Zoom on all of their computers for Yom Tov, even by being controlled by a Shabbos clock, so thereby they may do the Seder together as has been their family tradition? If you ask me, absolutely prohibited. I repeat, absolutely prohibited. I was told that there are a number of rabbis in the Holy Land who permitted it based on certain technical grounds. They think that there's no formal Easter with one of the Lama Tetz Melochos or the Rabbanans. I'm not sure if they're right or wrong. I think they're wrong. But even if they'd be right, it's a tremendous Uvdu Dechol Zilzul B'Yom Tov issue. Tremendous. And it could lead to who knows what. And therefore, it seems to me it's absolutely prohibited. I sympathize. I'll be honest with you. I'm also a three-generation family. All past years, I've been zocher to celebrate the Seder with my children and my grandchildren. And this year, my wife and I are all alone. No children are coming. No grandchildren are coming. The most that may happen, pursuant to the OU/RCA/Aguda/Young Israel/Igud/Lakewood Vod guidelines, is that a single individual who is all alone by himself, mamish by himself, wants to come to my Seder with social distancing, we have a big table, Baruch Hashem, for our Seder. Fits usually many people. So my wife and I sit at one end of the table, and this lone guest who's all by himself will sit at the other side of the table. That's as far as it's getting. That's within the guidelines. Even those guidelines, I was told that one or two of the infectious disease specialists are even more machmir than that. So we'll have to see when I speak to my doctor, Dr. Glatt, before Pesach, whether he'll allow me to have that one individual come called Dich Van Yeseh V'Yechel. You know, we all want to be do chesed, but it has to be with the approval of doctors. This idea of three generations on Zoom, because they've done it for the last decades, does not resonate with me whatsoever. Now, there is something going around about someone whose life is in danger. That's not the question that was raised, but I'll just speak about it very briefly. I want to emphasize that any leniency which is given to someone whose life is in danger is only given if the life is in danger. The life is in danger based on presumably some professional opinion of a psychiatrist or something of this nature. And for that, as the responsible Rabbanim have written, if I understood them correctly, there's no need for a full Seder. What you need in a situation of psychiatric emergency is to have the ability to keep contact. That's true. So if the person is totally all by himself or herself, and it's considered to be a pikuach nefesh on psychiatric chalila chashash of suicide, I've said many times that a chalila chashash of suicide, you drop everything and you run. I remember many, many years ago that there was a very, very distinguished person who was suffering from postpartum depression. It was during the week. I got into my car and I ran over to the place where this person was, and I tried to intervene to the best of my ability. And when I came home, I told my Rebbetzin, this drive would be permissible on Shabbos without hesitation. If someone is really suicidal, but even a remote chashash, you have to be mechallel Shabbos. But that's only someone who's in that category based on either what you see when you're in front of your eyes or based on a professional opinion. I think that's a very, very, very rare phenomenon. Very rare. And even so, no need for a Zoom. All you need is a phone call. Now, I would say, if you know the caller ID of the person that you have a chashash, maybe suicidal, and you see it rings on Yom Tov or even on Shabbos, pick it up immediately. And, you know, use your judgment. They say, I'm jumping off the roof. So you get into your car and you stop them as best as you can. But that's a far cry from any blanket heterim, even for a phone call, and certainly not for a Zoom. There's much more to be said, but let's continue to the next question. Number six. I'm the officiating rabbi at a graveside levaya this week. Should I make the effort to have a minyan? With social distancing, it will be impossible to have Yiddish pallbearers, and even with gloves, using shovels will be challenging. Helping the avel tear kriya is also a concern. What must minimally be done to cover the mason, cover the avel? What should not be done? With no minyan and no kaddish said, what could be said? A very, very sad question. First of all, it talks about someone passing away, which is always sad, the kavachomer. Now it's sad. And kavachomer, ben benoshel kavachomer, it's a result of corona. We know there have been such cases in our communities, and we have to davet Hashem to stop it immediately. But let's get to the actual question. I believe that before you even begin to answer the question, every rabbi has to find out what the regulations are in the particular cemetery. I know, for example, in a cemetery not far from me, in Bergen County, they only let a total of 3 people in, period. It, end of discussion. So you can't have a minyan. They won't even let more than 3 people in. I was also told they will not let the Jewish people do anything. They're afraid. So the Nebuchadnezzar, the non-Jewish undertakers that we typically fight with to let us do it ourselves, and they want to save time and do it themselves, this time, by the regulations of the government and or of the cemetery, you won't be able to do anything. It's so sad. They may not let even 3 people in. I'm told some places they only let 1 person in. So the one person, Nebuch, has to go there just to make sure that what's done is done properly. It's not really proper, but at least there should be a kavura bekarka, and it should be done as best as can be done. Unfortunately, they won't let you do what we typically do. You know the rabbana what we do. You take these strings, and you have 4 people, 2 on each side, and you lower it gradually. That's not happening, I'm told, in any cemeteries now. If I'm wrong, I'm happy to be corrected. But what they typically do, if you ever see the way they do it, they put the aron on that same place, and they press a button. When you press a button, the strings go down automatically. You can beg the undertakers just to move far away and let you, the rav or the person, press that button. If you press that button, you are doing the lowering into the ground, which is tremendously better than having the nachrim do that. Will they let you or not? I guess every situation is different. Will they let you fill up the entire grave with dirt as we do typically, which is a proper way to do it? I'm quite sure they will not let you do that, unfortunately. You can beg them to perhaps allow you, even if you're the only one there, or if they let 3 people there, to let you hold the shovels with a glove. And if they won't let you fill the whole grave, which they probably will not do, it takes too long, and they're afraid of exposure, etc., at least to be able to take some of the dirt with a shovel, and at least cover, a little cover of the aron itself, which is not exactly a full kvura. Some poskim say that the aninus comes to an end even when that initial stage happens of covering the aron with some dirt, even if it's not going to be completely filled in. So that's another thing to ask for, whether they'll allow you to or not. Obviously, every single case is different. What about the kriya? If you want to do the kriya, you have to wear gloves, you have to wear a mask or a scarf. If you're afraid of doing even that, so Meikir Adin, the Ovel can do kriya himself. You give him instructions that someone should provide him with a razor blade, as they typically do, and he himself can tear the shirt. Meikir Adin is only the shirt. Tear the shirt across and then tear down. After he gets through the hem with the razor, he can tear down by hand. And Meikir Adin, that's okay. His old discussion in Poskim, what's better? Should someone else do it? Should he do it? We're not looking for chumras in such a situation. What can be said? A perek tilim? You can say tzedek adin. Well, now that's Kodesh Nisan, so that's out. This is a perek of Tehillim. They obviously shouldn't do mamados. Typically, if it wouldn't be Nisan, we'd say some different words of Hesped. Now that it's Nisan, nothing should be said. That's the ideal in every Chodesh Nisan. Now that it's under such extreme circumstances, that's what should be done. You do whatever you can for the Kavod HaMeis and the Kavod HaAvel. But you're not allowed to endanger yourself. You're not allowed to go against the rules of the government or of the cemeteries either. 7. Concerning the Tilas Yadayim, can latex gloves be an acceptable substitute for hygiene purposes? Can for hygiene purposes, when washing the Tilas Yadayim, can washing additionally with soap before or after than the Tila? The answer to the first question is absolutely not. It's not a substitute for the Tilas Yadayim. You may say that if the Tilas Yadayim cannot be done safely, that you can use gloves without Netilas Yadayim. It's not a substitute. The poskim say if there's no water, you can put on gloves. I don't see why you can't do Netilas Yadayim today. On the contrary, I'm being told to wash my hands like Lady Macbeth, to wash and wash and wash and wash, because that's safe. If you have to wash 20 seconds with soap, whether hot water or cold water, doesn't matter. I was told you can do it on Shabbos. I've been washing my hands even on Shabbos with dishwasher soap, with cold water or something equivalent if there is some hot water remaining. That's what should be done, and that has nothing to do with the Netilas Yadayim itself. It's advisable, not just permissible. What is the order? That's a good question. It's not clear what would be the better way to do it. I would say to do it before the Netilas Yadayim, so that Teichah for the Netila Bracha, that the Netilas Yadayim should be as close as possible to the Hamotzi. Ideally, for Hilchos Netilas Yadayim purposes, it would be better after you wash your hands with soap and water to wipe your hands so the hands should be dry. You do the Netilas Yadayim later with from the cup. Or the roll of poskim, Meikar Adin, if you're washing it with at least a revius, you don't have to wipe your hands in between. Whatever, everyone has different menhagim as far as this is concerned. And if you have to for some reason, you'd be permissible to use the soap and water after the Netilas Yadayim, before the Hamotzi. Question number 8. Can one use a hot water urn that is used all year round, the potential problem being that it's filled with water by a chametz pitcher? Question 9. May an urn be kosher for Pesach, which is used to fill up tradition cup of soup, since on Pesach many are machmer, nitzuk ha-vechibur? What about challah that was put on the urn to warm it? Do we say now that you can't kasher the urn because it would need lib and gomer, or can you rely on kabbalah kachpoto? Two important questions about urns. It seems to me that even if it's filled with a chametz pitcher, if I understand correctly, you fill the urn with cold water and it's heated by the urn. And cold water, even if it's a chametz pitcher, is not chametz at all. Now, many people, I assume, fill the pitcher with the water from the sink. So that would be okay. The bigger problem is what's called about the tradition soup, so perhaps even more likely oatmeal cereal, where people pour from the, open the spigot and the hot water goes down into the oatmeal and the steam goes up. If you did that, you probably should be kashering the urn. How do you do it? Kibola kachpolto. You fill the urn with hot water and then have it boil as hot as it gets. And the spout, the faucet, the spigot, you have to kasher that too. How do you kasher it? You do it either with irui, by pouring boiling water on top of it. And some say, while you're doing that, you should let the water come out of the urn at the same time. And perhaps even better, if you're able to, depends on how it's made, to take the pot which has the boiling water in it and lift it up to the point that the spigot is totally immersed in the Kli Rishon. Otherwise, it's a little bit difficult to pour over the bottom of the spigot. It seems to me that even though the spigot is made from plastic, and other years where Mach went out to kasha plastic, this is not a regular year, we should be made of the kasha plastic as well. As far as the challah, it seems to me that although in our house we've also put a challah on top of an urn on occasion, the challah does not reach Yatzo Letisbo as a rule. Number 2, even if it reaches Yatzo Letisbo, the way I understand it, the challah is not put directly on the cover of the urn. Rather, you put it on some tinfoil or something equivalent, and that separates between the challah and the cover of the urn. And even if it would reach out to let us bow, and it would be absorbed within the tinfoil, then the general rule, ein belua yotze mechli lekli below rotef, and it cannot get from the tinfoil into the cover of the urn in the first place. And therefore, from, as far as I see, in all these cases, there's no problem at all. The cover of the urn is kosher even before we do anything. Question number 10. They want kosher with suvi for Pesach. What about a blech? I'm not a perfectly expert in suvi, but it seems to me that the pot itself was a regular pot, and regular pots could be kosher if there were 24 hours being dormant with hagola. What about a blech? Koshering a blech is very difficult. It was on the fire. It seems the better way to do it is to clean it well and to cover it with two layers of heavy-duty tin foil. So in case one goes through chalila, the other will stand. It shouldn't go. Both layers should, if you do it properly, should last you through the entirety of Pesach. Number 11. The Mishnah Berurah writes, when you're kashing with iru, yatoledes is enough. Correct. According to this, they want you as a steamer that emits, with an E, water to kasher their countertops, even though it doesn't reach 212 degrees. The first statement is correct. Whether a steamer does the trick is a matter of some dispute. How much water really comes out? It's not a question of the temperature. It's how much comes out on each in each part of the countertop. It seems to me that the best way to handle a countertop is simply to cover it. And where I grew up, no matter what you did beforehand, you had to cover it. And if you're covering it, then any other thing that you're doing, whether it be pouring water or steamers or etc., is only a chumrah because the covering itself works mikra din, even if it spills. Without going through the pratim right now. Number 12. This year, to avoid having to go out special to buy these products, can one be leaned allow on Pesach all perfumes, lipsticks, and toothpaste, being that is not royal achilas kelef? I saw in the OU that they're matir all perfumes, even though the Los Angeles bulletin does not. And the reason the dispute is about the following. Perfumes as they are nifsa mechilas kelef. However, unfortunately, there are some people who are so desperate for alcohol, they'll even ingest it as is. And there are others who will use various tricks to make it more palatable. For either of those two reasons, they're a great rabbonim. I recall my Rebbe Rabban Soloveitchik said that way many years ago, that they would not allow it on Pesach. But they quote the consensus of the OU poskim, say that perfumes is no problem. And in a year like this, I believe it's permissible. But if you look in the Los Angeles book, you'll find pages and pages of perfumes that have absolutely no chametz. If I remember correctly, the only one that has chametz is something called Mary Kay. She can survive without that particular brand. Lipsticks and toothpaste, the OU writes, are a bit more serious because it goes into your mouth. I think that lipsticks are not really a problem because no one wants to really put it in their mouth. There, too, you'll find a long, long list of kosher lipsticks of lipsticks. And so, too, toothpaste. I don't think it's a problem, Mika Radin. There's a list of kosher lipsticks of toothpaste as well. My recollection is that all Colgate's toothpaste are permissible. I'm not making any commercials. It's a very famous and popular brand. It's preferred to use that. Question 13. In areas where bathroom tissue has been sold out, people cannot buy what they're used to for Shabbos. Are tissues that are barely connected, probably to facilitate the next one to pop out of the box, really considered makabe patish, cannot be used on Shabbos? Are those tissues really completely made by the company, and this slight tear that occurs is irrelevant, unlike paper towels where the company leaves the perforation to guard the customer where to create the one-use towel? That's a very, very good question. Of course, it's not restricted to coronavirus and all these things. It applies all the time. I asked someone to look it up for me, what's printed on it. He came up with only one source, the Sefer Lama Tes Melachos by Rabbi Ribiat Shlita on page 842 and footnote 89. He thinks that it may be a problem of Kriya as well as Makabe Patish. two problems. I'm not 100% sure that he's right. This is not the time to go into the pool when the Shabbos. I think that can be avoided by buying a different brand of tissues where it's not connected. If I'm not mistaken, Kleenex, which is a very, very popular brand, is not connected at all. I assume you can still get Kleenex. If someone cannot in any way get the tissue which is not connected, so put it on next week's list, and we'll have to try to figure it out. Question 14. Can one kosher for Pesach pots with enamel coating? What about food processors and blenders? Enamel coating, forget about it. We view enamel as cheres, cannot kosher a pot of cheres. Blenders and food processors, different story. The significant part is the blade. If you can get a new blade for Pesach, it's good. If you can't, you can kosher with Hagala. That's what we assume. And the other plastic parts, you can also kosher, as it says this year, with Hagala. So that's what you have to do. 15. If I see other Jews disobeying the social distancing laws, holding large gatherings, am I able to call the police on them? They could be putting others in harm, but it's indirectly. What are the parameters of Mesira? Answer this question is very simple and very difficult. It's very simple that if your doctor tells you that this is a chash pikuach nefesh, if that's what the doctor says, then if it's pikuach nefesh, not only are you able, is it mutter to do it, it's a mitzvah to do it, it's a chiyuv to do it, if the doctor tells you that it's pikuach nefesh. That's the hard part, because you have to describe to the doctor what you're seeing. If he says it's pikuach nefesh, I believe it's mutter, mitzvah, chiyuv, without any possibility of mitzvah. There's no mitzvah. Says the Pharisee of the Shulchan Aruch Hoshin Mishpah. If someone is Chalila V'chas in danger in the community, there's no Issa Mesir at all. Again, if the doctor passes is the danger, then that Din of Shulchan Aruch Hoshin Mishpah applies. But every case, of course, depends on the realities on the ground. 16. Under the circumstances, should there be a communal Bir Chametz? Should 10 pieces of bread still be put out by the Bedika? And if so, how should they be disposed of? If they are not going to be burnt, perhaps they shouldn't put them out at all, or maybe should put them out but dispose of them in a different way. Very good question. I'm of the opinion that no one should burn chametz this year. Nobody. I'm afraid, chas v'chalila, it'll lead to something which is dangerous. Now I know that people say, I have a grill in the backyard, I can make a fire. I'm still afraid. Next thing you know, your neighbor that doesn't have a grill is going to come to you. They'll make a communal sreifa and everyone's going to come out to burn their chametz and be near each other. Let's keep the basic facts in mind over here. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tov Mem Hei Sif Aleph Arachayin, we pass like Rabbanon against Rabbi Yehuda, Tashpisu is Bechol Dover.
I didn't see it.
You can get rid of it any way you want. As the Mishnah says, Zora Leruach, Matal Layam, any way you want. It's a minig, yes, I'm not denying it. The Ramah quotes a minig to burn it. It's only a minig. We're not going to take a chance on any raccoon in the world if it's only a minig. And therefore, I say you should, there's no fire this year. If you look at Mishnah Berurah, Tav Lamed Vav, Sifkot Lamed Beis, he says the minig is like, we quote there from the Binyan Olam and the Chasam Sofer, that if you sell the chametz, this itself is a kiyum of tashbisu. That's why you're not required to do bedik in all the rumors if you're going to sell it the next day. We're not going to those pratim right now. So therefore, you can fulfill tashbisu by simply selling the chametz. What if you want to have the minig of the 10 crumbs? I plan to have that minig as well, 10 crumbs. So it depends what the crumbs are made from. The best way is to take 10 crumbs of soft bread. That's always a good idea. Even when there's a communal burning, because it burns more quickly. And I was told by experts that if you flush those 10 crumbs of soft bread one by one in the bathroom, it will not cause any clogging. And that's what I believe should be done this year to fulfill Tashpisu B'choldover and effectively Matal Layam. And I believe that burning chametz this year is inappropriate. I know people can't think about living without it, but it's, again, it's only a minig. The Ramah says it's a minig. And given the dangers involved, I would not want to keep that minig in a year such as this. 17. Given these times, it would be okay for a person to recite Tfilas HaDerech every time he/she needs to run out to get supplies. If yes, could one insert midever, which describes the terrible things that could Rachman al-Islan hurt a person while on the road? That's a very, very good question. I haven't seen that question being discussed in the various things that I've seen recently. I looked it up in Simon Kuf Yud, in the Dirshu, footnote 34. He quotes of Nissen Karel's name of Chazanish, that it's only Chutz La'ir. There's no takana of Shilas HaDerech in the city, no matter what. On the other hand, Shlomo Zalman is quoted there as saying that we're not worried about car accidents and the cross-box expressway. It's only for Listim and Chayot Ros. But if that would be a problem of Listim, but he calls there certain dangerous cities with their Arab populations, he writes Yitochen. That's the word Yitochen, it's a tricky word. That maybe if you're even in the city itself, it's appropriate to say it's Tfilas HaDerech. But since it's about since you're machlokes among the poskim, they quote the Chazon Ish says no, and if Shlomo Zalman is not sure, I would say Safek Brochas LaHokil. If a person wants, doctor, to say Tfilas HaDerech, he's going to get groceries, I can't stop him, but I would say he should leave out the Shem Hashem. When he says Baruch Atah Shamei Tfilah, instead of Baruch Atah Hashem Shamei Tfilah. Finally, 18. Based on the current situation, please review the Mechiras Chametz process and shtar between Rav and congregant to be taken place by email or Skype. This is, again, a very, very relevant question. I'll try to summarize it as best I can. Normally, it's preferable that every balabos should come to the Rav and fill out a shtar hashoah with pen and paper, and should pick up a pen from the Rav to further authorize him to sell the chametz. Now, the Rambam writes about such a kinyan chalipin, ein bezeh tam, doesn't really make sense from a purely technical halachic perspective, but he says it's a minhag Yisrael. What's the point of the minhag Yisrael? To demonstrate a very serious level of gemiras das. I really mean it. That I'm picking up that pen or that handkerchief to show that I really, really mean it. That's fine. We always try to do it. But even in Shanim Kitikunam, in regular years, there are going to be people like, Rabbi, I can't come to see you. I'm far away. So we do not require that as an absolute sine qua non for the Nechiras Chametz to go forward. So as far as the Chalipin, it's not necessary. But even if someone is far away, I tell them, so get me the piece of paper. How do you get me the piece of paper? In the old days, you would mail it. Then you would fax it. Now you scan it and email it. You know, every year gets new technological advances. Fine. And then I would print it out. Baruch Hashem, there's many Rabbanim who have been selling in our shul, Young Israel of Riverdale, for many, many years. Many of them only come for the Mechiras Yud Dalid. They have a few forms of Yud Gimel, so those who see me in Yeshiva give it to me, and those who don't, they'll typically use the fax, now they email it, and I print it out. It's a relatively small number of papers. This year, the greatest problem is that everyone's in lockdown, no balabos wants to see the Rav, no one wants to see the balabos, no offense, as we say, they're just observing the proper guidelines. So what are we going to do about that? So we created, thanks to the technical help of Rabbi Flug Shlita, we created a document which I believe can be emailed by every Rav to his entire congregation. I believe I successfully managed to do that this morning. Every Balabas who has email received a form. You fill in your name, you fill in your address, you fill in the chumash, you fill in the value, you fill in what you're selling, where it's located. As we said before, there's a spot which says other. If you're in a situation where you bought new forks, knives, and spoons, and you want to sell it, you can put that in too. And whatever, fine. This is a form which I use every year. This form has three separate and distinct sections. The first part is a bare bones authorization. Typically, every year, most of the people in the shul come to see me, even the yeshiva come to see me. I carry around with me an additional Shtar Mechira B'Kitzer, which says, we, the undersigned, sell our chametz to John J. Brown. There's just three lines. I prefer that they come to me and fill that out in front of me so I can see that they're taking it very seriously. It's just the name, address, and the value. For those who are not seeing me, I put those same words, except with the word I instead of we, on the bottom of the document, shtar mechira v'kitzer, is a chumrah. And the chumrah is because it's not so apparent how we are able to combine the shtar harshah with the shtar mechira. So that's why what I do is, and for most people on the shtar, that they sign their own shtar mechira v'kitzer, and for some people, they put it on the bottom of the shtar harshah that they are filling out. It's not ma'akev. Migwa, then you don't even need a shtar harshah at all. It's just to point you on the phone. In the middle section of my shtar mechira, there's a special section for those who are going away on Pesach, where it says, I want to lease my entire home or apartment to the non-Jew, because you want to pot yourself from bedikas chametz, at least in that part of the house or that other property which you own. Now this year, people are not going away, but the people have offices. And they may be chametz in their offices, and they don't want to start making bediga. They don't want to get to their offices. It could be even illegal in New York State. So they put in there, I'm renting out my entire office. Done. There are those who don't want to be bothered with the bediga chametz because they're going away from their house, but they want to fulfill the mitzvah, so-called mitzvah of bediga. It's a big question whether such a mitzvah exists. And so there's a carve-out even within that section which says I'm renting out my whole house, with the exception of, let's say, the living room. Not too much chametz there, or a bedroom. And you fulfill the so-called mitzvah bedika by doing a bedika in that particular room. So what we did this year is we took the same exact nusach with one or two changes. The two changes are, for each and every rav who's using it, I appoint Rabbi Ploni or his designee. Now, there is an extra chumrah if you want, only if you want, to write, I appoint Rabbi Ploni or Rabbi Willig or their designee. The reason for that is the Mesefer Mechiras Chametz Kulchasa writes that it's a problem of Mili and Omer Imru, and therefore it's important that every single Shtar Shor should say that I give the power to Rabbi A or somebody else. Within the somebody else, those who learn the Sugyas, you know, that's better to designate it in particular. Omer Imru Leploni, as opposed to Omer Imru to anybody you want. That's just a nicety. So for those who want to have my name in the document on top, it's fine. Those who don't want it, it's also fine. But you have to make sure you write the designee. In addition, Mr. Brown, who's been helping us out with this for well over 40 years, called me from his upstate New York home. He'd like to do this business again. He feels it's a charm for longevity, and certainly has been for many, many years. So I hope he'll come, but he may be disallowed from coming by New York State before the time Pesach comes around. We don't know. So even in those Shtar Mechiras B'Kitzer, I wrote down Mr. John Brown or someone else of my choosing to enable that to happen. And with respect to the rabbi, the designee is also important because we hope that I'll be able to be healthy to do the Mechira on Erev Pesach. I hope you all give me a bracha. I should be healthy in Erev Pesach. But I wrote, even for myself, Rabbi Willig or his designee, because you just never know. We're living in difficult times. We're trying to do it properly. If you didn't write designee, could it work anyway? That's a whole machlokos and poskim. We should not try to get ourselves in that kind of a situation. I want to conclude by giving a bracha to all the rabbanim on the phone. I give you a bracha. You should all be healthy. Should all be safe, should make sure to maintain all the federal, state, and local regulations. At the same time, attempt to maintain the connection to your Balabatim. Just to give an example, in our Young Israel at Riverdale, every evening at 6:30, I have a Zoom session. Almost everybody has Zoom. There's some people don't have internet at all. They don't even have email. So for those people, we're going to have to try to work out a different system for them to send the shtar to me. Maybe some people will insist on getting a piece of paper and leaving it outside my door. But I'd much rather that they get someone else who they know who has email and give them instructions to fill it out on their behalf. I believe that certainly would suffice in a year like this. Getting back, we have a Zoom session at 6:30 every evening we've had, and which begins with a Shir Nichos Pesach, where I answer the questions which have been submitted by the Balabatim, and then we daven Mincha together. I say Ashrei in front of the camera, move to the side for Shmon Esrei, come back for Avinu Malkeinu, which we've been saying based on Gedolei HaRabbonim, step aside, that's no relevant anymore, for Tachanun, come back for Aleinu, we say the three prokim of Tehillim, Chaf, Kuf Chaf Aleph, Kuf Lamed, which the Gedolei HaRabbonim said we should say every day, I say it Pasuk by Pasuk, and then for those who wish to stay on, we have a Shir learning an Amad Yomi, a Masech the Tamid, so that individuals who have a Bechor, will be able to make their own private Siyum on Erev Pesach. If they can't do that, many Gedolei Rabbanim permitted to be Mishtatef in a Zoom Siyum. It's not obviously not a L'chadchila. I should caution that those who are relying on the Zoom Siyum should make sure to have a Suda afterwards. Just to hear a Zoom and walk away wouldn't suffice. You know, if you have a Siyum in Shul, we always put out cookies and cake to be able to at least have a mezonos for the Siyum to be a legitimate Siyum, to be matir to eat the rest of the day. So even those who are never have to hear the Siyum on Zoom should make sure to have some kind of a Suda immediately thereafter. We should be zoche that a Kodesh Baruch Hu should take us to be saying in Agada, may Afela Lior Gadol, from the depths of darkness that the entire world feels right now, to an Or Gadol, to a great light. We hope for the rapid end to this Magefa. We say with great Kavona, Avinu Malkeinu, Mena Magefa Minach Lasecha. We hope even more that after this Afela will be the Or Gadol, the Or Shel Mashiach, B'mehera V'yameinu, Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Rebbe. Bezrat Hashem, we hope we'll be able to be in touch again next Wednesday. One last round before Yom Tov, if possible.
Thank you
very, very much. Take care, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
mind of it. How about you? My wife's had it. She's over it. Yeah, we have. I mean, she's been isolated since Wednesday, Thursday. Constricted. A lot of different systems. The main daily one is constricted. Feeding of the chest. Thursday night channel was scared. She got really concerned. But today's the first day she wasn't. Either I had it really mild for a day or two last week, or I haven't had it in my life. What about you? What's your exposure like?
What about the kids? Don't know because she's not required to give to pass out of call if you call. So I asked you if I'd written that a suit to you about the Lyme history. What about that? Cause I know the reason I asked was because he went with you to Dr. Weiss, I think, or was involved in reading the talk with Dr. Weiss. How are you any more at risk than the next person? According to Rabbi Rinnab, there's no evidence of current Lyme. I mean, that's what he told me, but I googled it. I couldn't find anything. Hold on. Let me see how much juice is left on the phone. Let's see. Was that beeping you or my? Hang on a second. Okay, so what is... All right. So here is where... You can tell me where your thought process is. I'll tell you where mine is exactly with this right now. I'll put it out there completely. One, the main thought I have, and I have some side things to add if I remember them. Main thought I have is the following. Notwithstanding, notwithstanding that, so putting aside that right now there's probably not much risk of arrest. At least Al Pri Brian are only interested in bigger fish than this, and they're trying to empty as much as possible everyone as a nonviolent offender to get them out of any holding situation, any internment. Putting that's your own thing to figure out. What I spoke to Brian about was, wait, we have an emergent situation, which is the coronavirus. It's a situation in which the economy is obviously brought to close to a standstill. We have a family that's disrupted. I threw in the fact that, plain as day, that the sheriffs were tipped off about your location from her, which he felt, I don't think that would be part of his presentation. I'm easy to distract, so let me just put the whole thing out there. So he pushed that one off as part of a letter to a judge. But I said, listen, it's a cruel situation. You want to hold up a person for bucks at a time when the economy is just not there, and the kids don't get them, and now...
Thank you!
Kids don't get to see their... She knocking, she just locked herself out. Produce. Plus, she probably does need the help with the kids. At a time like this, when the kids are home from school and caring for children can become a 24-hour thing or whatever, 16-hour-a-day thing. So can't wait the judge, and I think I threw one other factor, and I can't remember what it is. That's why I'm talking so slowly. I think there was one other thing to throw into the letter, and I can't remember what it was. I said, Brian, isn't there room to do this? Okay, so he said, yes, but. And he thought that there has to be a minimum offer on the table. So I said to him, we talked about what the number is. The number's not, he feels the minimum number, he didn't come up with a crazy number. I said, will we go lawyer to lawyer first? He said, at the end of the day, after the whole discussion, he said, yes. First, it would be an offer straight to the lawyer before a letter to the judge. I said, then what's going to prevent them from handling? He said, what's going to prevent them from handling is, he said, I'm going to present a particular amount, the amount he has left in the retainer. And he said, he's going to tell them it's coming out of his pocket and not a penny more. There's just nothing else to be had. There's no point negotiating. And he's going to try to cut that off right there. And then... Not clear to me the second piece of it, of what it would consist of. And that the amount that he has, I think, is $2,500. He said that happens to be what there is, and it's as far as he considers that pretty much the minimum to impress the judge that there's a serious effort. We're talking about the judge previously said $12,000, and now it's months later, blah blah blah. But he said because there's been absolutely no payments and absolute, you know, disregard for the court, he said he cannot, it's just not going to happen without putting something on the table. I think he wants to put, I think he would prefer to add $500 a month until trial. I'm not clear on that, what he has in mind with that piece of it. I'm just not clear. But the point is, that can be cleared up. My thought, though, is also to do the following. At the same time that Brian does that, now this is assuming you want this. His belief is that generally not. He believes that there's really not much risk right now. But you can call him anytime you want and ask him. My thought was, just to give you, this is to complete this entire thing, though. Removing the warrant, as far as I know from Brian, he's communicating with you and he's not hearing back. At this point, I think he would like out. In other words, he doesn't want the liability of a, you know, of a, of being dragged into a trial with a client who's not giving the court the time of day. It's just a bad position for him to be in. He says he has a limited amount of time to get out. My thought is, at the same time we remove the warrant, we would also do a substitution of lawyer in which you would go pro se after that. Without the warrant, you don't. In other words, if you do both steps together, you can represent yourself without risk of arrest. Not indefinitely, necessarily, unfortunately. In other words, if the trial gets postponed too long, then the amount could go back up. I'm not telling you it's, you know what I'm saying. It could be. I'm going to tell you something that you can't repeat because it's against the law, but Brian has said in the past that he feels it's despicable enough what's going on the other side, that even though he's not allowed to communicate with someone who's pro se, whether it would be through me or whoever, he would still do some, you know, Amira, whatever it is, coaching as to what to do and what not to do. But I think both together, I tell you why I think it's a good idea. First of all, it would allow me, instead of wondering when I'm going to hear from you next, to focus on getting a little bit of community pressure, at least here. It's very hard. It's like, it's hard to be putting yourself out for somebody where you don't get the time of day for them, David. I'm sorry. I'm talking about for me. I'm not even tining. I'm just saying the way I feel like, gee, I should be talking to Rabbanim, but at the same time, I'm not hearing from you, and I know nobody wants to hear from me on this, so it's a difficult moment to go to them. It's like no one wants to hear about anything except the current situation. So I feel it would free me up a little to help better. I feel that we'll try and get you some help on it. If it works out right, you can make them spend heavily. If you want to throw in that we'll subpoena her mother, I have no problem with that. But think about that long and hard. It could make them vengeful, if you know what I'm saying. No. But in the context of going pro se, you have to be concerned that she might do something vengeful if she's that. But I don't mind putting that into the picture. But the prospect of Brian continuing is not such a happy prospect without him getting cooperation, not for him and not for me. And that's it. And you really haven't been so impressed with what he's done for you anyway. What being pro se allows you to do, if, as Rabbi Rindenau will tell you, people who are pro se and organized get the attention of the judge. People who are pro se and disorganized tick off the judge something terrible. And, you know, wasting their time. And the other thing I want to tell you, it gives you the opportunity to make them spend like crazy also, if you get the respect of the judge. The other thing it does, I think reality-wise, I know maybe this, and I don't mean this as a muster, I'm in no position to give anyone a muster, but it makes you become your own difficult client. In other words, it gives you a reality check. When somebody else is paying the bill, so I'm not making any payments, but it might force you to confront the reality that making a deposit now and then, if it'll get you a better face time with the judge, is worth it. Whether it has to be raised for you or not, but you've been, you know, all I'm saying, as a reality check, you might be a better client if you're your own client. But that's my thought to do, you know, but the reality is you might not need any of this right now just to function as a parent, as a father, because I don't know if there's any significant threat of arrest. I don't know that it's there. And I said to Brian, yeah, but someone who gets arrested now, they're going to get stuck because there's no court sitting. They're going to get stuck for a while. He said, as a rule, not, because they don't want nonviolent offenders in the hole, whatever they call it. And you're not dealing with an ex-wife who's going to be benevolent that way either. So then it becomes the hashgacha of which cop shows up or answers the call. You know, it's, so I'm not telling you not, honestly,
My preference,
right,
at the end of the day, I don't know, you know, whether it's going to be my 2,500, Brian's 2,500, I don't really know. It depends on how the 500 a month. We have to work out that prat as to whether that's a necessary thing. But the point is, he can get a letter to the other side now. If they say no, he can then take it to the judge and show he made a bona fide offer. So he has two shots at it. If they try to negotiate, I don't know what it'll be. So I didn't schmooze it out with Brian at all. I mean, he was trying to nip the amount in the bud. If he starts going with monthly payments too, I just don't know. That was like a weird part of the conversation where I didn't. I really meant to say, let's do 500 a month instead of the money down. And then he said, I think he combined that part. There wasn't good communication on that part of it. Be that as it may, that's mainly what I have to say. I had another fantasy land kind of a thought, which I don't give much. And I honestly believe that if I don't have to sit around feeling like, all right, we're wasting so much money on a client that isn't giving. I'm just telling you, I'm not judging. I'm just saying the way I feel. We're wasting. It's like having a tap that's on where the water is constantly dripping and running up your water bill. You know, it's just wasted. The letters to you cost. He's trying to get your attention. Doesn't get a response. But, you know, everything costs, basically, communication-wise with the lawyer. I look at it as, gee, it's not accomplishing because there's not a good relationship between the lawyer and the client. And you're looking at it as, gee, you know, he made this original sin of the 2000 and you're furious. And I don't blame you for being furious. I don't know what the right way to look at it is, the wrong way. I might have, you know, whatever it is, but I think we got to get out of this phase right now. You can't go pro se without having the warrant removed. You could have visits. You probably can, however, get. You do have a decent chance of being able to see the kids without the warrant removed because of the circumstances. The lawyer could pull a fan. We could imagine all kinds of things. The lawyer might insist that you get tested. Who knows, right? Yeah. Who knows? Let's not kid ourselves. Even with the best ideas, we don't really know, you know, will it go from point A to point B to point C? We really don't know. Ira Heller could trip this up in many different ways if she wants to. But if she really wants the money right now, or if the judge decides that if she's so broke she should want the money right now, and it's not fair to the kids to hold this massive amount of money during a time when the economy is dead, then we can get either the warrant, you know, we can get the warrant removed. They'll ask again, you know, what'll happen later? I don't know. Let me complete my thoughts. My last thing is just a crazy idea, which is, I don't know if it's a steer to this or not, but it's to go to Yaakov Bender, to go to his kid who runs Ashiezer and say, listen, we don't know where this is going right now. I'm not even watching that. Because of the month in my house, I try not to look at too much of the stats right now. It's just more that I can really want to deal with. But to ask him to contact the powers that be here to say, listen, he could really use, or his son could use, a couple of more ambulances. And see where that goes. If that can get them out and then help, I was thinking maybe that could get the warrant off also. If there's an emergency request for your help. And maybe we could, you know, maybe see if he really did need the help, I don't mind contributing to that. In other words, it might not be much of a stipend, but it's not money down the tubes, at least. It puts money in your pocket, and hopefully you'd start depositing something. Or maybe this is in addition to the other thing, and just has to do with getting the ambulances out. But this thing that David Kaplan is going to be, you need to, well, that's a separate shmooze. You need to be operating with the protection of some bigger organization. That's a separate shmooze. Like my point, I have this fantasy of maybe we could use him to get the ambulances out and you operating them. I don't know, you know, which direction to take that in from there to go a couple of different ways. His original hesitation about, I mean, he said, whatever. I have no idea. That these people are crazy busy right now. You know, he's running a school of 1,000 kids online right now and or on the phone. And his kid's obviously busy because Five Towns is a very serious place as far as the coronavirus is concerned. But anyway, that's a separate thought I had. As far as, again, that's it. I'm just putting my cards on the table. I my thoughts are out there. The last I checked, who was going to be going to various Rabbanim, his kid was still in the hospital last I checked. You know, as a newborn. No. Some sort of premature kind of birth. Just had one, a baby boy, maybe 3.5 weeks in the hospital. I guess my estimate. I don't know if that's right. Was I surprised? Some part of my brain was slightly surprised that they have a new child. Yeah. Some people have kids to live 45, so who knows? Who knows? I don't think I can ask you time to go to anybody based on what he told me about how the virus was handled in that yeshiva, but I'm not even going there. You know what? It has to be on the phone, which is unfortunately not the most effective way to be handling this either. So as far as what could be done with the community, again, I would feel way more freed up to operate on that if we can just have a mahalach with the lawyer and with the warrant. And now, I want to say one thing that came up on this call. The idea, I mean, this is like broken record, but the idea that she doesn't, I think I told you this before, that she doesn't put through a call to the kids. And that's it. That's the end of the story in the Siyayish. It's too black and white. Yeah, it's true that Kozman, that the judge doesn't think you're giving her the time of day, a record of what she's been doing doesn't help. But comes a trial, and the judge is mechuyev to listen to all the tainas, then having a record that you try every night to call, and that you or your lawyer, you know, depending on who's representing you, are putting in a request to honor the court order, it's going to be very significant. And there's 100 other things like that, too, that you got to dot the I's on. But I said what I got to say right now. You don't have to say anything right now. You can process it, call me back. If there's anything you want to be Mavara with Brian, go for it. If you can't get him back. Oh, her mental health, obviously. That's the part I left out. That's the part, I knew I left out an element. So wait a second. So what you're saying, I have a slightly different, yeah. Okay, well, you know what? Before Brian writes a letter, we'll conference him or we'll email him. That's not the, right. Good. You're absolutely right. The whole mental health thing is the part I forgot. Now you're actually raising something new. I don't know if it'll ring strong to Brian or not, which is there already was a recommendation to increase your time. Now, what was time until now? Time until now was time after school. Now, time is 24 hours a day, so al achas kam v'kama, the situation has to be addressed based on the new children's schedule. If that's persuasive to Brian has got to be the, you know, he'll put in, at the end of the day, he'll put in whatever you want, but, or, you know, whether that sort of a threat is really effective to a judge who feels herself to be very powerful or whether it'll backfire. How to phrase it in a way that it's not a threat, but will still get her attention. Then the question is, can you really go there into this territory without an expert opinion behind you? No. Yeah, no, that we do. But that... Right. Okay. Yeah. No, I meant about a past history of not controlling her temper and so forth. Yeah, 100% logical what you're saying. 100% logical. Again, could be that you don't need to you're hitting an area that I just know nothing about. In other words, who made the call? Yeah, now I'm thinking about what you're saying. The governor put out a call. You have a copy of that email?
Yeah.
Send it to me and Brian Rabbi Rindenau if you would. Brian first. As frustrated as you are, he's as frustrated with you. You're allowed to say that. You're allowed to say to him, I just am so, whatever it is, disconcerted or, you know, I have to ask you, please give me a full time. You're allowed to be a human being. You don't have to, you know, or you could say it tougher if you want. I'm not getting the sense that, you know, you got to give me a greater sense that you're trusting what I'm saying. I'm not. What? No. I know. Look, the process between the two of you isn't working. I don't want to, you know, whether it's more you, more him, ich face, I don't really care. What I care about is I don't know how to fix it, and I'm paying for it. He's, you know what, he's a big boy, he's a military veteran, he's a former judge, he can handle it. And if he can't handle it, he'll tell you, hey, your tone stinks, so you'll handle it. You'll tell him why your tone stinks, because you're just so anxious. Nothing's going to happen, people duke it out all the, I don't know what it is, you know, I'm not a psychologist. I don't know what in your background makes it difficult for you to just mix it up a little if you have to. It's not, but not in a bad way where you have to win. Just make the person aware of what's, you know, you need them to hold cup in what you're saying and respond. The reality is at this point it's a little late in the day because he's emailing you and not getting any response from you, and he's trying to help you, and, you know, and it's just like he doesn't know how to help you if you're not going to answer. But you heard my first thought, again, is let's do this package of things where let's get the warrant off. If you get the warrant off, again, I wasn't Mavara what he means by the monthly payments, if that's really a necessary element. I wasn't Mavara how long the warrant, what happens when the chavis, but let's say it's off until the trial for sure. In that case, you get the warrant off, and you can do the thing pro se, and if you remain without a warrant, and you're pro se, you could really begin to make their bills mount. It doesn't mean that it'll work, because Ira Hell will have his own shtick left to do here, but Hashem Mansoein, I can't, you know, but... And then, you know, you want to do this, again, think over whether you really want to subpoena her at the same time, because you're pressing a lot of buttons over there simultaneously. I could give you an alternative scenario in which she's not. In other words, we've identified 8 or 10 income streams. She's turning herself into an industry pretty effectively. For every 8 that we find, there may be 8 more. In other words, she might be in her heyday now with the coronavirus and being on her own. She could be like flying right now. Who knows? There are people we could find out from, but we'd have to have... David, I'm aware how absurd that is. No, this is the minimum they owe to Mrs. Hearst. That's just what it is. I don't... Yeah, but this year... Wow. Well, About the conversation with your father? No.
No, about the
gee, we've taken that line to people over and over again. It hasn't done that much yet. No, my last conversation with somebody, it was a particular Rosh Hashiva, if he were to call, not locally, if he were to call Yosef and tell him this must be dealt with, it would work. I called that Rosh Hashiva, and his reaction was that terrible. This is someone who has no problem believing that the Chayla was not a Mushlam in every regard, and he's not someone who's living in a dream world. He did say, though, and this was 2 weeks ago at least, no, maybe not at least, maybe it's approximately 2 weeks ago, that the timing is just extraordinarily awkward given that people are still not used to him. I think I told this to you, that I could be wrong. He just felt that people have to get used to the idea more of him really being on the sideline before they address this, because they haven't yet adjusted. The fact that they're still dabbling for him. I don't know what you mean, but keep going. So you wrote them a letter telling them that this would be a huge risk for him to deal if they dealt with this. The problem is, everything about David, I don't know. You could send it. I refuse to comment on that without Rabbi Rizal on the line. It's... hang on. Yeah, we're all working on this angle. We're not getting anywhere. In the last couple of weeks, I have Tzichaim, whatever. We haven't done very much since one particular meeting. I could go over the different establishments, what happened right now. I think... Tell me if I'm wrong. I think someone said a very wise point. I went to Tamchi Shabbos a few weeks ago, who are supporting her. Only food, $300 a month. As far as I know, she may not have gotten a perm payment, but they weren't going to tell her why. I said, and someone said to me, and I went to the Rashiv at that time also, caught him at a very, whatever, awkward moment. He said, listen, there's a regular channel for the, whatever it is. I caught him, and I'm glad he didn't answer, because someone said afterwards, it would be foolish. It's more important to send her a message than it is to stop funds. A few hundred dollars less, more food, this, that. Yeah, but you don't know that her mother's not going to pull her through. But sending a message that she... No, so I'm saying sending a message that she's no longer this damsel in distress, this great Nebuch in Peseus, and that people are onto her game a little bit, is probably more powerful than stopping a Tamchi Shabbos thing. So I was sort of, I thought that was a little, so that's, I think, where the Hishtabos has to be, that all the people who are supporting her, not cut it off, Adarab, but use the fact that they are supporting her. I don't know how they justify using Stuckigeld for it. That's a different problem. But that's it. I'm not sure what you're referring to, but it's okay. I'm not too sharp on that. Anyway, but I think... Um, My last conversation with anyone was with a particular tzedakah fund on Purim. By the way, I will give you, if you want to go on my hobby horse, as a letter from, you should know that a tzedakah organization really, and I think it applies to yeshivas, I think everyone's, I mean, I saw it with Moshe Feinstein in person. The books of his yeshiva were open to anyone. But maximum transparency is a really good thing. I mean, that's just the reality. It's only fair to the public. I can tell you who operates without transparency, and look where it went. And he was furious with me when I mentioned it to him. It was Rabbi Farrell. When he started the Gemach, I said, would you mind telling me how many families you're supporting? And he talked about all the secrecy that's necessary. I wasn't asking for names. You know, it was like this idea that you run a thing, and I would, you know, pardon me, I would include Hatzalah in it, a supporter, I'd include PTI, I would include anybody, you know, a supporter, it doesn't really matter how much they're giving, is entitled to get some sort of statement as to how the money's being used. I can think of a lot of reasons to do it. But don't shuls handle, I mean, the way, if you handle it the way shuls or anybody else, so you charge three times the cost of the fibular and to get their name on it, or three times the cost of an ambulance to get their name on the ambulance. You say the dedication is more than that. I'm sorry, we have other expenses that we can't raise without charging for the dedication. You tell them exactly that. My friend, nobody's going to dedicate our insurance policy. Therefore, we charge for the dedication.
I made one organization do something that cost her because I didn't have money before. But they never counted on my cashing in that credit.
No. What does that mean? People's people. What are you going to do? I got news for you, Devin. Yeah. In your case, though, if I'm a helpful schnick and insist that you stop at solo work while you're to see the kids, your kids are in their own kind of sakana. I would go for it. So I don't want to distract. I put the fantasy thought with Bender is the fantasy thought. I my belief is, and you're raising the whole thing of the state, and it did occur to me to go to ask Rabbi Brindenau. Actually, I dispatched, isn't there room to go to Gary and say, listen, is this the wrong time to be keeping these ambulances off the street? Yeah, Zerachman, yeah, probably. I agree. Yeah, yeah. No, there's no reason not to do that. It doesn't get you back as a driver, though. No. I don't know if you can anyway. You apologize to Ashley? Okay. So that is a whole separate thing. You could get your equipment out right now by threatening to embarrass them. It's not beyond, you know. Who's going to operate the equipment right now? Okay. You don't think Gary's got a brain? Who does the work before the meetings of having read everything then? Yeah, Chaim's not a baby in my experience. Well, whether he did, whether they got him to say something in a certain moment or not, one thing's for sure, he isn't holding cuff in any of it. About communal things, or?
I don't know if I can say that. It's hard for me to understand how our conversations are working.
Would that help explain anything? Listen, I think he can, in effect, no, way past. In effect, Rabbi Hertz was used to process a lot of things, and he relied on him. So people are probably beginning conversations thinking he knows what's going on in the first place when he doesn't. I mean, it'd be a lot of information. If he had to catch up on all the 100 Rabbi Hertz files right now, imagine how he could possibly prepare a shiur. Rashid is a hard worker at what he does. In other words, every shiur involves prep. He's not an Eloy that's doing this by magic. He actually works very hard at what he does. There's no way he can catch B hold cup in all of all the stuff that's being dumped in front of him right now. It's impossible. Yeah, manager's like way too, the relationship's way, way beyond that. Any of the cordless phones work? It works.